Hey y'all, it's the movie retrospective. Mm-hmm. And guess what we're talking about today? Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, the original movie, not the TV series.
Oh, yeah. The original movie. Yeah. And I kind of feel like the TV series was so, you know, amazing and so popular that I feel like there's probably a not insignificant subset of the population that doesn't even know that there was an original Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie.
Yeah, it's kind of overshadowed the movie. I remembered the movie, but then forgot about it. And in my mind, it was just a TV show from then on out. And I saw a couple of episodes of the TV show back in the 90s when it was on, and I liked it. I thought it was a good show. And it's Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Sarah Michelle Gellar was her
Sarah
name.
Jessica Parker. That's a totally different woman.
Yeah, Sarah Michelle Gellar was in it, and she was a cutie. She was kind of like a Britney Spears kind of back in those days, the way she looked, and she drove the show, and it had a lot of good characters on it. But this movie was kind of forgotten, I think, by a lot of the people that probably just knew it from the TV series. This is a great movie. It's a good movie. Watched it. It's good.
It is actually really
fun. I never saw it.
Now, honestly, it's just kind of like, okay, so I did see a few episodes of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer show, which I think ran for, what, 8 or 9 seasons? And then it had an offshoot show called Angel.
Yeah, and wasn't Sabrina the Witch, or that something different?
No, that was different. Okay, yeah. But, there was, like, a lot of kind of
that
supernatural...
That was a Bewitched knockoff. That was kinda, a Bewitched knockoff. Kind of. Sabrina, yeah.
Well, wasn't that based on... I thought Sabrina the Teenage Witch, wasn't that based on, like, some Archie shit? Like, wasn't that an offshoot of, like, one of the Archie comics?
I don't know.
I thought it was... Please forgive me if I'm wrong, but I thought... Yeah. I don't know how I know that or why I know that piece of information, but it just popped into my head, so it sounded right, so I said it.
Yeah, but coming out of that television series, though, a whole bunch of vampire stuff had, like, fucking Angel.
Yeah, that was a direct offshoot, because that was one of the characters that was
Angel,
from Buffy.
And girls liked that one. These were more, I think, really kind of more marketed towards...
And Charmed was a big one, too. That didn't have anything to do with Buffy. That was Witches. But that was also very popular around the same time.
Yeah, and they were all kind of, I think, marketed towards teenage girls, really, a lot of them. But guys watched them, too. They were good. I would think the ultimate during this period, though, was one fucking James Cameron had that was called... what was the name of that one? It had Jessica Alba in it. Damn, it was good.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh, she was a genetically engineered...
Yeah, we've talked about it before, but I can't remember, like, what it was.
I'll remember it eventually.
I can't remember what it was called. But I kind of feel... Well, the thing about...
Dark Angel.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was called Dark
Angel.
Yeah,
I remember you telling me about that. I don't think I ever saw that.
I tried to get that on DVD, and they went, like, $100 for it.
Well, it's kind of
it's
a forgotten
collector's item.
I mean, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV series, and some of the other supernatural shit that came out at the same time, like Charmed and stuff, are actually still pretty beloved.
Yeah.
So those are going to be a lot easier to get. But
a lot easier to get,
the
yeah.
thing about the original movie of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which came out in 1992, was that it's funny because it's funny thinking about it now because, you know, of all the stuff that's happened subsequently. But... the concept of kind of like a vapid valley girl fighting vampires was very, very weird to an early 90s audience. I mean, even Christy Swanson, who played Buffy in the first one, like I saw some clips of an interview with her from the time where she was talking about, you know, when she was first pitched the movie, and she was like, Buffy the what? Like, that was like the dumbest thing ever.
They called it dumb.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it, and the thing about it, I think, too, that there's kind of a misconception that it, like, really tanked at the box office. It didn't. It wasn't, like, a huge success or anything, but it made more than twice its money back. Like, I think it was only $7 million, like, to make it, and I think it made $16, $17 million. And this is on the backs of, one, a really weird premise for the time, and two, obviously, back in 1992, there was no TV show. Nope, that was a completely original character.
Yeah.
So people were just going to see it on the strength of the premise, and it still like made its money back. But because, you know, the show came along later, like I think it was 4 or 5 years later that they did the show, everyone just kind of like forgot that the movie even existed, I feel like.
It was a good idea, though.
It was a
mishmash, and they mashed together two things that were opposites, you know, fucking preppy little valley girls and vampires. That didn't happen. But you could make a good movie based on that.
Yeah, and they did.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the movie is as good as the show was, obviously. But
wasn't as detailed.
It's still, well, it's still, like, really entertaining. Now, I will say that, obviously, because Joss Whedon was the guy behind the Buffy the Vampire Slayer show, he wrote this movie. Buffy is his original creation, which a lot of people know. So he had actually written the screenplay for this movie when he was, like, pretty much... I don't think he was, like, really all that well-known at this time period. He was very young. And the screenplay got picked up by... Actually, Dolly Parton had a movie production company called Sand Dollar, I think. And her production company picked it up.
Okay.
So, and then there was also this thing called Kazooie. I think it's called Kazooie, like, Productions. Who's, like, a Japanese woman, Fran Kazooie, who was the one who ultimately ended up directing this movie. And she was the one that kind of, her production company, they did stuff like, you know, introduced, like, South Park to Japan and stuff like that. So, so that's who was kind of behind the making of this. But like I said, Joss Whedon, a very young screenwriter. Now, he has been noted to say that that he didn't really like how the movie came out. The original conception of the movie was much darker, and, like, it still had funny stuff in it, but when the movie was kind of, like, going through the production process, a lot of the darker elements were taken out, and more funny stuff was put in. Yeah. And while he liked Christy Swanson's portrayal of Buffy, the character, he's like, she's not exactly the way I had written her originally or the way I was picturing her. Sarah Michelle Gellar was closer to what he had been envisioning, like, from the beginning. But that said, this is still, I mean, it's mostly a comedy. Let's put that out there. It's not, it doesn't really have a lot of horror movie elements to it. It has vampires in it and they kill people and stuff, but it's... It doesn't even have as much horror element as, like, The Lost Boys. It's pretty much a comedy.
It's still a good movie, though.
It is, though. I actually really have a lot of affection for this movie.
I think the tone was it wasn't what you know, the writer wanted, but the tone worked in a big movie. And the setting worked. Basically, what they did is it's taking place in where in California?
I think it says Los Angeles, but I thought it was Pasadena. I thought it was Pasadena. Because at one point she goes out to, like, where they keep all the parade floats, which maybe it says Pasadena on it.
Okay.
And I assumed that it was Pasadena because that's kind of what the name of the parade is.
Yeah.
But it could very well be Los Angeles.
So it's out in California in the suburbs, and this cheerleader's senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And, a bunch of stuff happens. Relationship stuff happens. Vampires happen. She gets mentored by, like, an Obi-Wan Kenobi type guy who's a vampire hunter. He's ancient from the past.
Well, I don't think he's... I think in the show, he was ancient. In the movie, I think he keeps, like, reincarnating.
Reincarnating, okay.
Right. So he's not, like, the same person every time necessarily. Like, he's not super old.
Same guy
old.
Plays him every
he
time
just,
the show.
Because I think he says at one point... Donald Sutherland plays him, by the way. Merrick. I think he says at one point, I'm born with the knowledge that... Yeah. So I guess it's like a reincarnation type deal.
But really, if you stand back and analyze the movie, it's very... The story and the setting and the tone is very much like the musical Grease. It's like the Grease, but it's not a musical, and it's got vampires in it. Which you think, that's fucking crazy. No, it works. It kind of has a certain nostalgic feeling to it. And it felt like it was supposed to be nostalgic even for the 90s. Even though when you look at the movie, it's a real time capsule. It kind of reminds you of the way people were in the 90s, the way things looked.
It's so 90s, it hurts.
Yeah. But it's good, though.
Yeah.
I
don't mean that as a bad thing.
Yeah, it's super, super 90s. There's mall culture in it. You just see how much things have changed since the 90s. I couldn't even understand really what the girls were saying in the very beginning. I had to put the subs on. Because it's been a long time since I've heard people talk like that, which is the teenage slang that went in and out of style real quickly. It's just a good the styles and everything. You forget how hyper feminine a lot of the styles were back then with the hair and everything. It looked good. It was just from another time.
And those giant earrings that they were all wearing.
Giant earrings.
Which I kind of dug some of those, actually.
How super femmy girls were. Especially cheerleaders. Cheerleaders fucking bent over backwards to be super, super femmy. But bitchy. Bitchy and fighty catty.
Yeah, and they show that in here big time. Because, like, Buffy, her circle of friends, they're all these kind of just, like, they're stupid and proud of it. There's, like, who cares about history? I'm never going there, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know, they're all, like, just cattily, like, picking on everyone else's clothes, and...
They weren't stupid, per se, just that their priorities were all about what brand names you were wearing.
Maybe not stupid, shallow. Right. Just, like, really shallow.
And just, they insulted people and stuff, but that's the way they were. But it does kind of poke a fun at the way that was, but not over the top. It was just kind of... The movie's actually very accurate, you know?
Yeah, and
like
actually,
even in the late 80s.
I grew up in Florida,
and,
you know, I was in high school. This came out in 92. I graduated from high school in 1990. But I remember some girls being like this.
Yeah.
Like, even in
real
the late 80s. Yeah.
Real, real clicky. And what happens is it's like the head cheerleader girl runs into a couple of what you'd call, like, burnouts. They were, like, heavy metal type guys. Listen to punk rock or goth or whatever.
Or stoners. They look like stoner types. Type dudes.
They're kind of like in between. And then they reject those guys. They reject them. But then later on, one of them gets turned into a vampire and the other one tries to flee town and he falls in with Buffy. And then a romance kicks off, which is kind of like there's an element of like forbidden love because.
Almost like Valley Girl from the early 70s.
Yes. You remember the Valley Girls?
No, the movie Valley Girl.
Yeah, it was like that.
From 1982.
Right. Yeah, and so she was, and he's actually out of high school. I think he'd been out for about a year.
Yeah, because he has a job. He works as like
a mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd been out for a year or two, and he has a motorcycle and shit. So, but it's just a good kind of like Grease or Rebel Without a Cause. Just a lot. It's kind of reminiscent of a lot of classic movies that take place in this point of a person's life when it's the end of high school. There's a lot of them where were like this, but they were good.
Kind of little you can tell that it was influenced by Heathers as well, which had come out a couple years prior. Heathers is like a much darker comedy, but I mean this one is just basically pretty much a straight up comedy. It does have some dark elements, but not a lot.
Whereas, they laugh off the dark elements.
Yeah, well, whereas Heathers was just like all dark, but they were making it funny, which was why it was like controversial at the time. But you still had, and I think even at one point in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, somebody uses some slang that was also used in Heathers, which I don't think was in common parlance prior to Heathers, because, you know, the writers of Heathers kind of made up their own slang so it wouldn't date.
Yeah.
You know, so saying stuff like, what's your damage and stuff like that. I don't remember anybody saying that before that movie came out, but after it came out, everybody said it.
A lot of slang was local, made up by a clique itself from that particular high school. That happened a lot, too. But by the end of the movie, it's happening on prom night, pretty much. Yeah, it was prom night, wasn't it? It was prom night.
It wasn't the actual prom. It was just the senior dance. Because remember, there was like a gag about...
That's right.
This is the last dance of the year. Oh, except for the spring formal. Oh, and the semi-formal.
Right, and this and that.
Yeah, oh, and the senior prom. So this wasn't the senior prom.
It was like a prom-like festival.
It was a prom-like product.
Yeah, a prom-like product. But I remember that it wasn't quite prom. But by the time that's going down, of course, a lot of the kids have been turned into vampires, and of course that means they're goths now. They're showing up in fucking early 90s goth fucking PVC fucking bondage outfits and shit. But they look good. You know, the costumes all look good. The clothes and the fashion, I mean, very 90s. And now would be considered fucking quaint and retro, but kind of good. I forgot how colorful shit was, the big patterns. You didn't see that all the time in person, but you always saw it on television. Because a lot of what they're wearing in this one would have been pretty expensive. If you went to your average someplace in middle America, a lot of them would still look like something out of the 80s with fucking big poodle haircuts and shit. And fucking terrible fucking jeans, mom jeans and shit.
The thing about it, though, is that
these kids are in high fashion because they're
These girls are, you know, their parents are upper middle class.
They don't care where they are either.
Well, yeah, they kind of
they kind of go,
which they changed a little bit for the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, in this one, it's kind of like I don't know if I'd call it like a running gag, but it is kind of a thing where these girls are just like out doing whatever, and like their parents are just bye, we're off to Hawaii or bye, we're off to, and they don't really give a shit what they do. They're not mean. They just don't really give a shit what they do.
Now, there's some good vampire action fucking when the dudes when the burnouts when the one guy's friend gets flipped into a vampire, he shows up floating outside the window. It's kind of like something out of the
Salem's Lot.
I was like,
oh, a Salem's Lot moment.
Yeah. And they had him hooked up pretty good. He had fangs and pointed ears and looked like Nosferatu from fucking kind of looked like Nosferatu.
That was David Arquette, by the way.
Oh, was it?
Who would later go on to much fame in Scream and many other movies.
Yeah, the only thing I could say kind of lacked about the movie is that Rutger Hauer played the head vampire.
Lothos.
Yeah, Lothos. He wasn't intimidating at all. Not to me. I didn't like his mustache. I thought it looked bad. He wasn't a very interesting or deep character. Neither was the guy, the burnout who got turned into a vampire, because he looked cool. I thought that maybe they'd give him some Nosferatu-type scenes where he could be spooky and shit and funny at the same time. That didn't really happen. They didn't go into the problems that happens to you when you become a vampire. It was just superficial. I'm a vampire now. I'm a god.
Because it was mostly about Buffy.
Yeah.
And about her being, like I said, this vapid cheerleader who is kind of forced to, you know, rise to the occasion. It's like you're, you know, Merrick comes, tells her, you're the chosen one.
Yeah.
There's one every generation, and you have to fight vampires. And then, like, him training her to do that and her kind of, like, becoming a more mature person and, like, taking on that responsibility.
My only complaint was that those two vampires were not quite deep enough characters, that there should have been... they should have done a little bit more with them. Should have been, like, you know... There should have been a scene where you kind of... where they kind of transform slowly or something, where they had to fight it. Always like those kind of scenes in vampire movies. Or they're like, or they try to flip their friend, that kind of thing. He didn't. He was just going to, I'm going to let me in, I'm hungry. He's going to, you know, he was just going to kill his friend.
You're floating!
Yeah.
That made me laugh really hard.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
So I think there should have been a little more depth with at least some of the vampire characters. That's my only complaint.
Well, I think that that's maybe one of the things that Joss Whedon wanted to do initially, and that's why he went off and did that more with, like, the series.
Yeah.
Like I said, this one, this is actually a really good movie. I saw this movie a bunch of times, like, back in the, you know, mid-90s. So much so that, and I hadn't seen it for a long time, so we were watching again last night, there were so many lines in there that I remember using with my friends and stuff, and I had forgotten that that was what movie it came from. So it was, like, really kind of, like, I was like, oh, my God, we used to say that all the time, and I forgot that that's where that came from. But, you know, it's, like I said, they kind of went in a more comedic direction with it, and that's okay. The vampires aren't really all that well established. I love that, like, the kind of second-in-command vampire is played by Paul Reubens, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman. His death scene in this is hilarious, like when she stakes him and he's like, and then he falls down, then he gets back up like he's doing it again.
And
like,
you realize like, that was him.
Yeah, that's fucking Pee Wee Herman. But yeah, this might have been like the only, you know what's funny, I found this out today, that part was actually supposed to go to Joan Chen, who, that's crazy because she normally is in kind of like, you know, Oscar worthy type movies. But then she couldn't do it for whatever reason, so they got Paul Reubens, of all people. But yeah, so one of the burnouts, like the main burnout character, Pike, is actually played by Luke Perry. Now, one of the things that might have kind of affected the making of this movie, I had thought, when we were watching this last night, I was like, oh yeah, Luke Perry is in this, who died in 2019. I had totally forgotten about that. He was only 52.
Damn.
He died of a stroke. I had totally forgotten until I was looking it up today, and I was like, oh shit, that's right, he did die, didn't he? But yeah, that's fucked up. So Luke Perry, when we were watching the movie last night, I thought, oh, this is pre-90210 Luke Perry. I was wrong. 90210 started in 1990, 2 years before this.
Okay.
So Luke Perry was already a fucking massive star at this point. And he wanted to be in the movie, but he said, well, you have to accommodate my 90210 shooting schedule. So for this movie, I think they shot it in 5 weeks, which is not a lot of time. So it could be that some of the stuff was maybe, like, rushed a little bit through. Like, they didn't have time to do multiple takes, or they didn't, you know, it could be that. Because they had to, like, hurry it up, because they wanted him to be in it because he was such a big name.
Another thing that we noticed, we're watching it, and all of a sudden, in the middle of a damn basketball game, one of the kids pops out, and it's fucking It's fucking Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
He's like a 20-year-old Ben Affleck standing there.
Yeah, because I was like, I had forgot. There's a shit ton of cameos in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ben Affleck shows up as another guy on like the... He didn't have any lines, I don't
know. No, he was just playing basketball.
He shows up on like one of the basketball teams. Ricky Lake shows up as the waitress in like that restaurant. Was Ricky Lake. Seth Green shows up in this. Like I said, David Arquette, but that's not a cameo because he's actually like a full character. Hilary Swank is actually a full character in this too. She's very, very young. This was, you know, before Oscars and before she got like super famous. I heard somewhere too, I think it was from Minty Comedic Arts channel, that originally this movie was supposed to have a cameo or cameos by David Bowie and Mick Jagger. They were going to be vampires, like old rock star vampires.
Yeah.
But I guess they couldn't get them, or, you know, it fell through or for whatever reason. But yeah, but they were supposed to be in it, or that's what I heard anyway. But yeah, so it's just funny how many, I think there were even more cameos than that, but I can't remember like who they were. But I specifically remember seeing Ben Affleck, because you can totally tell that it's Ben Affleck when they have his face. He's only in there for like 10
2 seconds.
Yeah, he like backs off like one of the vampires is like playing basketball or whatever. But yeah, so it's just crazy too how fucking. But yeah, it's like all the fucking lines in this that we used to use that I had forgotten about. Like when the first time that Donald Sutherland as Merrick appears. And they're at all the girls are at the mall, and they go in this elevator, and the elevator door opens, and he's standing there, and one of the girls goes, "What a homeless."
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
We used to say that sometimes too. Like when somebody looked like a bum. Yeah. And another one too, like when all the girls are like in the restaurant, and then the two burnouts, Luke Perry and David Arquette, are like over by the bar. And he's like, "You guys are the ones from the movies. We hate you guys." And I was like, oh my God, we used to say that too, like in that same inflection. And I was like, I had forgotten that it was from this movie.
The mall scenes are a trip because I'm into like watching mall videos and shit. Like the whole mall video scene.
Yeah, we love those dead mall.
From like, fucking, in any way.
Dan Bell and Ace's Adventures and Sal and all them.
Yeah, you look at the scenes and that was like the height of mall culture.
Yeah.
Fucking jam-packed. All that high fashion shit, expensive stuff in the windows. You look at those places now and they're empty. They're dead. Dead. Because Amazon and just markets changed. And I think it depends on where the location is. Part of it is they built too many of them. And that was just how you used to distribute products. And it's just funny to remember how big those were and how busy those were. You go there and there'd be no choices. Still, they couldn't. You had to fucking buy what they were offering. Couldn't get goth clothes there. You had to fucking mail order all that shit.
You know, it's kind of funny about you saying that they built too many malls, which was a problem in a lot of areas, which is why a lot of them closed. They kind of made like a little bit of a joke about that in this movie in 1992. Well, because remember the girls are all in the mall and they're like, "Let's go to a movie or something." And then they're like, "Well, what about this theater?" And they're like, "Oh, they don't even have THX or Dolby or anything."
Yeah.
Well, what about this other mall? And they're like, "Oh, that's, you know, they show like what'd she say? They show previews for foreign movies." So they had like so they named like five or six other malls that they could presumably get to like in a short period of time.
They were mall theaters that they were talking about.
Yeah.
And they turned their nose up at AMC because the ushers all had zits.
That's right. Yeah. But she didn't say zits. She said Acne something.
Yeah, Acne Central or something.
I think it was Acne Central. It's like, oh, they're all Acne Central. Because they all had that like kind of Valley Girl sort of
everything had to be
patois.
Perfect.
Yeah. So it's like they had to. So they did actually kind of make a joke that there were that many movie theaters or that many malls like within a very short, because I noticed that like it's kind of like
the market could support it though.
Yeah, I mean back then it could. Yeah. I remember even kind of small towns having like a lot of malls like within a little bit. But yeah.
That was how you bought shit.
It's and so it's not so much, I mean, there's a lot of the scenes in this are kind of in the mall. Not like a lot of them, but there are a few. There's some where, you know, the girls are shopping, and there's some where they're in a movie theater.
Yeah.
And then there's one later where Christy Swanson as Buffy is out, like, buying a dress for the dance and stuff like that. But it's just kind of cool to, like, see the mall. It's not, like, super centered around
for
that.
For you youngsters that did not grow up in the mall era, the mall made sense. It was futuristic. They came out of the 50s. They were thinking about them in the late 40s. And it was to replace downtown areas. You didn't have to go downtown. You could park, and you could have your downtown in this one area, and it was covered, and it would be air-conditioned, which was, like, mind-blowing back in those days. Air-conditioning? Hell yeah. Didn't matter if it was raining, snowing, or hot. You could be downtown inside, indoors. It was an indoor downtown.
Well, yeah, that was
that's all it was.
Yeah. But it's, you know, the culture has changed so much that they're not really...
Like, online said, sales now.
That they don't really support it anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, another thing I wanted to say, too, that even though... Okay, so Joss Whedon's original conception, like a couple of the things that I found that he wanted for the original character, like I said, in terms of it being darker, was that Merrick, who does die in this, but in the movie, he's actually stabbed by Lothos. Like, Lothos stabs him in the heart, and he dies. In the screenplay, he's actually supposed to... He got turned into a vampire, and he kills himself to keep from turning himself into a vampire. So there was that. And also, at the end of the movie, Buffy was supposed to burn down the entire high school gym. Like, we're in a Carrie type... Not Carrie as, like, psychokinetic, but she was supposed to burn down the whole thing to destroy all the vampires.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in the movie. Although, I do really like the scene at the end where most of the high school kids, like, survived. A couple of them got turned into vampires. Some of them got staked. And there's a scene where there's, like, they're in the gym where the dance was, and there's, like, dead bodies laying around. And, like, the administrators have their detention? Detention? Like, on the dead bodies. Which I thought was, like, very funny. Wasn't that guy in Office Space, you said?
Yeah. He was...
Yeah.
He was the dude.
I can't remember that actor's name.
He was
but
the dude that kept taking his desk away, and they forced him to work downstairs, and they wouldn't even
stop
paying.
That's right. That's right.
Even stop paying him. That looks like the same guy.
It might be the same guy. I forgot to look it up. But that I actually laughed out loud when he was putting detention slips on all the dead bodies. Detention. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. That made me laugh. But like some of this, I think Christy Swanson was actually. She was really good in this. I kind of feel like she hadn't been... She was in some stuff. She was in Flowers in the Attic. I remember her in that. She was in Deadly Friend. Remember that? She was like a robot cyborg type thing. Do you remember that movie?
No.
And she, you don't remember the scene where she throws a basketball at somebody and it like smashes their head and it explodes and stuff? You should see that. It's actually pretty fun. I'm sure it's terrible, but I remember that scene fondly. I remember her being in that, but... So, I don't know, I really like her in this. She's, like, really charming. Like, at the beginning, she's, you know, very shallow and vapid and everything. Like, you know, she's at the graveyard, like, waiting for these vampires to come out because she doesn't believe it yet. And then she's, like, looking at Merrick, like, looking at her nails, going, got any gum? You know what I mean? It's, like, that type of situation.
She says no, she's like, what?
I know, and it's like, that made me laugh really hard. Like, she couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's like, okay, whatever, like... Who the fuck doesn't have gum? Yeah. It's just, it made me laugh because I knew a girl, one of my friends in high school, and she was always like that. She was always like, where's my gum? Who's got gum? I need some gum. God damn it. And she was always like, fucking, yeah. And then there was the whole thing with the hairspray, too, of like her spraying the fire in Lothos's face with the Aquanet. So I thought that was pretty funny, too, because I was like, oh, yeah, I remember back in the late 80s and early 90s with everybody having hairspray in their fucking locker. Big fucking bangs sticking up and everything like that. Just hilarious. But yeah, so if you've only seen the TV show and are only just now finding out that this movie exists, then, I mean, don't go into the movie expecting it to be like the TV show. It's similar. It's the concept is similar. But Joss Whedon changed a lot of stuff when he... You know, he changed the series to be more like he originally conceived it. So it's a lot darker. The character is a little bit different. And it's less... I mean, it still had funny shit in it, but it was, like, less comedic, I feel like. I've only seen, like, you know, a handful of episodes, so I'm not really an expert on it. This one is much more, like, a straight-up comedy. But that said, it's like... You know, and some of the jokes don't exactly land, but... I don't know, there's just something really, like, charming about it. Maybe it's just because I saw it a bunch in the 90s, so I have kind of, like, a nostalgic sort of warmth and affection toward it. But I don't know, I always just really...
No, it's just the tone of the movie.
Yeah, I just really had, always had a lot of fun with this movie, and I just thought it was, like, really cute and, like, really entertaining.
Yeah, it's just a fun movie, that's
yeah, it's just totally fun. Yeah. And like I said, it's just hilarious to think now that a concept like this was a little bit weird in 1992, like a Valley Girl fighting vampires. Like, now everybody would be like, seen it, you know what I mean? But, or something like that. But I don't know. I kind of feel like conceptually it would have been kind of strange for the time. So maybe it was a little bit ahead of its time. Maybe not too much ahead because it, you know, like I said, it didn't tank. It did make money. But after the series came out, obviously, it kind of got overshadowed to the point where I think some people don't even know that there was a movie that came out in 1992. Now, we watched this on Tubi for free. But I think by the time this video goes up, because I noticed like before we watched it, a little thing next to the title said expires in 2 days.
Yeah.
So they might be taking it off. It hasn't been on there that long. So you, if you want to watch it, you might have to pay unless they put it on another streaming service.
Wouldn't be much, $1.99.
Yeah, I probably not. Because like I said, this is a little bit of a forgotten film. And that's kind of sad because there's actually some really funny shit in this. And there's a lot of really big names in it. And a lot of actors that were cameos or that had small parts that actually went on to be super, super famous later on. So it's, like, kind of fun to, like, spot all of the people that were in it before they got really famous. So, yeah, I mean, definitely go check it out. It's really fun. It's really worth watching. Like I said, it's kind of like Valley Girl or Grease, but with vampires in it. But, yeah, check it out and tell us what you think about it in the comments. And that will do it for this movie retrospective. We will see you guys on the next one. Bye.